The verbal threads that link this story together are the contrast between what goes into the mouth that defiles and what comes out of the mouth that defiles. That occurs in the first episode, at the end of the first episode. What goes into the mouth that defiles a person, it's not that, but it's what comes out of the mouth that defiles. And that same motif is picked up in the episode after Peter asks him to explain this parable to us. So, do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach, into the sewer? What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. From out of the heart, then, come all these things, and they are what defile. That linking of the story is the way to remember this sequence. So, it is a typical verbal thread in that it's statement in its most simple form, and then it is developed further. So in the first instance, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles, but is what comes out of the mouth that defiles. Second time, it is further developed. Whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer. What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and that is what defiles. And then that out of the heart metaphor is developed in the next episode as what defiles a person. So if you recognize the logic of this speech, it makes it much easier to remember. The story of the Canaanite woman has only one significant verbal thread, and that is, it isn't fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs, and yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. So the verbal thread is the dogs, and that becomes the central metaphor for this interaction between Jesus and the Canaanite woman. The other thing to notice is that the first episode of this, the woman is shouting. In the episode when she came and knelt before him after he has said, I was only sent only to the lost sheep of Israel, it is quieter and more intense. She came and knelt before him saying, Lord, Lord, help me. So the contrast between the loudness of her shouting and how much that turned off the disciples, and then the quietness of her plea, is part of the central dynamic of the story. This story, this series of sayings, and the story of the Canaanite woman follows an argument that Jesus had with Pharisees, who were his fellow Jews, about the cleanliness laws, and specifically about the dietary laws in regard to washing hands. The disciples had eaten with their hands unwashed, and the Pharisees were offended and asked Jesus, why do you let your disciples do this? And he responded by calling them hypocrites for being concerned about this while they were allowing, and by their traditions, things such as people not taking care of their parents, but giving the money to the temple or to religious causes. And then after this argument with the Pharisees, he calls the crowd to them and speaks to them. So that's the context of this, of conflict between Jews about how important is it to observe particular elements of the law. It is indicative of the kind of conflicts that happen now in the church over specific elements of ethical practice and whether those are the most important things and, you know, what really matters in this. And that is the context of this. So specific things that come to mind are making a huge deal over the matters of homosexuality, which never comes up anywhere in the New Testament as a major legal issue that has become a divisive central issue that is dividing the church, and issues of the kinds of food that people eat, which get associated with religious law, with clothes that people wear, and so on. So the issue is, what do you pay attention to? What is the, in terms of the Pharisaic group, what are the weightier matters of the law? And what Jesus is arguing here is that the focus on what people eat or how they eat it in terms of whether their hands are clean does not focus on what really matters. What really matters is the things that are generated from within people that result in things that are truly destructive to others. And so the argument here is framed in the terms of the issues around cleanliness laws and the issue of being clean. So what defiles a person is what then makes them unclean. And the tradition that had developed within Judaism in Jesus' period was that a major issue was clean and unclean foods and clean and unclean hands and dishes and so on. And so the whole discussion and practice of kosher foods and ways of fixing foods had become a major issue. This discussion, in which Jesus reacts against that whole tradition, is the reason for this major division between Rabbinic Judaism and Christianity now, in which within the Christian tradition there is virtually no attention to whether there are clean or unclean foods and to the practices of how foods are fixed or how they are eaten as a religious issue. So what Jesus focuses on in his reinterpretation of this, and what is in effect a series of legal rulings, is what comes out of the heart. And what he calls for is discernment, of paying attention to what is in your heart, rather than paying attention to what you eat, what goes into your life, into your body. It's what comes out of your body that you should pay attention to. And so that's where Jesus directs attention, is to spiritual discernment of what is in your heart. A major dimension of what was present in relation to the cleanliness laws was separation of Jews from Gentiles. It is the tradition of separating yourself from those things that are unclean. Jesus leaves his argument with the Pharisees. In Mark, it's implied that he's just fed up with this argument and just leaves and goes to Gentile territory. Here, that is an implication, but it's not developed, that he left there and went to the district of Tyre and Sidon, which was on the coast in Phoenicia and was Gentile territory. The Canaanite woman who came to him then was, from the point of view of the religious of Jesus' day, unclean. And if he had anything to do with her, he was making himself unclean. Jesus responds to her as a Jew. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, that is, Jews. He does not respond to her at all when she yells at him and asks him to have mercy on her. His response was, it is not fair, it is not right to take the children's bread, that is, the bread of the children of Israel, and to throw it to the dogs, thereby characterizing Canaanites and so on as dogs. What Jesus then does in responding positively to her answer, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table, is a radical step of reconciliation with the enemies of Israel. It is as radical as it would be for an Israelite, an Israeli now, to be reconciled with and do, you know, good things for a Palestinian, or for a Palestinian to do that in relation to a Jew now in the context of what's happening in Israel. This is a radical action of breaking normal expectations of what Jews do in relation to their enemies and establishing a different relationship, of extending the benefits of the kingdom of God to the enemies of Israel. Jesus is then extending his redefinition of the law from not just paying attention to what goes on in the heart, but also to the breaking down the law as a dividing wall between Jews and Gentiles. He eliminates the wall and responds to her. Now, the predominantly Jewish context of Matthew is reflected in the fact that he first of all does it as a Jew who tries to respect and values the separation from Gentiles, responds to this woman as a Gentile first. But then in compassion for her, he responds and heals her daughter. It is a major turning point in the gospel narrative and in relationships between Jews and Gentiles.